a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Judiciary Committee of the Senate will come to order. I'll ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Senators Valley.
Here.
Monroe.
Here.
Kirkaby.
Here.
Hunhoff.
Here.
Bradford.
Here.
Zalka.
Here.
Teason.
Here.
There is a corner.
Now, do we have to recess before we even start this morning?
No, we're all here.
We're all here.
All right. In case you hadn't noticed, first of all, that it's mid-session, so we've reversed the voting order. Get used to it. Any discussion about the minutes from Tuesday's meeting or action? The minutes. Senator Monroe moves.
Accept the minutes from
seconded by
second.
Senator Valley. Any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Minutes are approved. Okay, welcome to our audience this morning. Reminder, silence your communications devices. Sign in at the podium if you're planning to testify. Let me give you the order of business for today. At the request of Representative Feinstein, who has to move to another committee, we're going to take HB 1178 first, followed by 7781, and 102 is going to be deferred at the request of the sponsor. So that'll be our action for today. And I would remind committee members that 1178 and 81 both have fiscal impact statements, and they are attached to the back of the bill in your folders. For your reference and for the audience's reference, both of those conclude that it's what the impact on populations, jail populations, is statistically irrelevant. So basically, no impact, but note those fiscal impact statements. Any other discussion from the committee before we get started today? Seeing none, we'll start with House Bill 1178, a bill to revise certain provisions relating to false statements pertaining to aircraft registration and associated penalties. Representative Feinstein, good morning.
Good morning. Representative Mark Feinstein, District 14, Minnehaha County. I guess you all have the fiscal impact statement, right? Okay. We did not in the House, so I have her pass out this.
Everybody in the audience needs one. They're available. Continue.
Well, thank you. Folks, what we have here is probably one of the toughest bills you'll see in the next 3 or 4 minutes. And it has to do with a couple other bills. I don't know if you've seen yet or not. So this is sort of a companion to HB 1042 and HB 1043, which dealt with the aeronautics and aircraft registration. This is a bill I believe the Department of Transportation would have brought if they had caught the issue that I'm addressing right here. 1042, for example, revised penalties for late payment of registration fees, and I think 1043 was a 48-page bill that cleans up stuff. But what does 1178 do, and why is it here? It makes the penalties for false statements regarding aircraft registration consistent with each other. For example, the penalty in SDL 50-11-9 is a Class 6 felony, which is the one we're really fixing here, while the penalties in 50-11-22, 50-11-23, 50-11-31 are Class 5 felonies. It doesn't make sense that there's inconsistency. And what this one is this is when you're making your initial registration of your aircraft and you make a perjured false statement, a knowingly false statement. The other ones regard things like transferring your aircraft registration title, claiming you lost yours or mutilated it, and making false statements accordingly. And those are actually tougher penalties than the initial registration. So what this does just makes them all consistent. Normally, and what I handed out was the vehicle registration penalty if you make a false, knowingly false statement when you register your vehicle. It's a Class 5 felony, too. So what this does, again, it makes it consistent with other types of vehicle registrations also. And also, perjury penalties are routinely Class 5 felonies. So again, just brings consistency to our laws. The bill also adds the term knowingly to each of the statutes to make sure that they're consistent with similar perjury-type offenses found in the other title registration statutes, like I pointed out. And why do we add the word knowingly? Well, we, the legislature, generally do not want to make felons out of people who make an inadvertent mistake when they are filling out a document. By adding knowingly, we make those only the penalties where there's some culpability that will be prosecuted. And what are the Class 5 and Class 6 felonies? Well, Class 6, which is what we're correcting to Class 5, is 2 years, the maximum is 2 years in prison and a $5,000 fine, where the Class 5 is a 5-year prison term with $10,000 fine. And that's the reason why I believe this bill should pass forward. It passed on consent through the House, and I ask for your consideration, and I'll wait for the opposition, and then I'll ask for rebuttal time, and stand by for any questions.
Actually, you'll do the first one first. Does anybody have any questions for Representative Feinstein?
Just real quick.
Senator Valley.
In reading the financial statement on it, it doesn't look like there's been a whole lot of issues. Is there something that's come up? Is there people false registering aircraft? I don't know. I'm just wondering.
It's a great question. It's a great deterrent, isn't it? No, but actually, there haven't been problems. But, you know, I don't believe there's been a lot of problems with the motor vehicle registrations. But we don't want peace. I mean, there could be issues involved with laundering of funds and things like that. You're making false statements here and there and registering the vehicles. But these are statutes that have been on the books for a long time. The motor vehicle one, basically since 1939, amended in 1989. I don't have the exact date of the aircraft registration ones, how long those have been on. But they're consistent laws that we have. And you're right, there haven't been a lot of problems, but this is there for falsifying, you know, when people deliberately go out and perjure themselves when they're making these registrations.
I don't even know. Do we have an excise tax? I'm guessing a sales tax, and so therefore, if I registered the aircraft for a lesser price, I'd have to pay less tax. Is that a possible issue?
I don't know. Thank you, Mr. Chair, but I really don't know. There is a title registration fee. In fact, we had a bill in the House tax regarding home belts, and there is a 3% title registration. But and I don't know if values are in the registration. I really don't know that. I haven't seen the statement myself.
Any other questions? Thank you. Further proponents, House Bill 1178. Are there any other proponents for House Bill 1178? Seeing none, are there opponents? House Bill 1178. Opponents? Seeing none, any further questions? Seeing none, we'll close public testimony and move to discussion action from the committee. Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll move to pass.
Motion by Bradford.
Terrific bill.
No comments allowed on the motion.
Second.
Seconded by Senator Kirkaby. Any discussion on the motion? I guess we've already had it. Seeing no discussion, the motion is due pass on House Bill 1178. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Valley.
Aye.
Monroe.
No.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Bigalka?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye. Motion carried. Okay, thank you. Move now to Senate Bill 77, repeal certain outdated and obsolete provisions regarding county prisoners, brought to the committee from the Office of the Governor. Good morning, Ms. Filer.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Lori Filer with the Department of Corrections. Senate Bill 77 is brought at the request of the Office of the Governor, and this just reflects the governor's ongoing attempt to identify and repeal obsolete and outdated statutes. This particular one, 24-1134, certainly fits that description. It's been on the books since 1939 and has not been changed since then. As our local sheriff said, this isn't used and would not be used, so I would appreciate the committee's support of this.
Thank you. Questions for Ms. Filer? Stacy, good morning. Further proponent testimonies.
Good morning, Chairman, committee members. Stacy Eggert, Executive Director for the South Dakota Sheriff's Association. Just offer our support for the repeal. I asked Sheriff Lightholt to give me a very short and simple explanation as to why this should be repealed. He says, we don't use it, we don't need it. We ask for your support. Thank you.
Further proponent testimony, Senate Bill 77. Seeing none, is there opponent testimony for Senate Bill 77? Opponent testimony. Seeing no opponent testimony, any questions? Senator Valley, you're considering whether we want to continue to offer bread and water, or what are you... What are your thoughts here? Go ahead.
I guess it was just an overall question as to the nutrients we provide to prisoners. Is there any discussion of that at all? I mean, I have no idea. I just remember when I was a kid, my mom says, you better not be going to jail because you only get bread and water when you go there. And I'm thinking, boy, that'd be pretty bad.
I'm guessing that thought is about as outdated as this statute, but...
Chairman, Senator Valley, I don't know the exact legal answer to that, but I know if we were to try to just feed them bread and water, we would likely be in trouble, ACLU or other groups like that. I mean, there are requirements and guidelines we have to follow.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Teason probably has a legal answer for that. Identify yourself, sir. Welcome.
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dick Teason. I represent South Dakota Sheriff's Association. There are federal laws that require a certain amount of calories be provided, just as federal law would require that we fix their teeth if they need them. There are a whole bunch of federal laws that are very strictly followed by our jail facilities.
Hold on. Senator Bradford, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I'm kind of worried here. Because okay. It looks to me like if they take away the bread and water, you guys going to get nothing.
There's a real nice calorie count for you there, Senator. They'll make sure you're nice and you get plenty of good food. So,
any further questions from the committee? Seeing none, closed public testimony, move to discussion action from the committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bigalka.
I move do pass.
Second.
Motion by Senator Bigalka, seconded by Senator Valley, do pass. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, the question is do pass. Senate Bill 77. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Valley.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Bigalka?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye. Motion carried.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bogalka.
I move consent.
Motion set by Senator Bogalka for consent. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Valley. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor of consent motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion carried. Senate Bill 77 will go to the floor on consent. All right, moving right along. Senate Bill 81, to prohibit the possession of certain items in jails, to provide a penalty therefor, and to revise the penalty for the procurement of certain items into a jail. Proponent testimony, Senate Bill 81. Senator Ewing, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and fellow senators. You just cured the nutrition problem in our jail facilities. Now, my bill is going to take the bad stuff away. As you said, the title is an act to prohibit the possession of certain items in jails, to provide a penalty therefor, and to revise the penalty for the procurement of certain items. This bill come out of the Lawrence County Jail, my district, and it's backed by the Sheriff's Association. On page 2, there's some language change and some added, and I also at this time would like to offer an amendment. We did find a mistake, and I think you've all been provided a copy of that, so I will offer that at this time. We have some other individuals here to further testify on this bill. It's basically very simple. We also have the physical impact statement that I think you've been provided a copy with as well. I'll go ahead and let the other folks testify on this bill and stand by for any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Senator Ewing. The amendment you're referring to is 81JA, and testimony may talk about the bill and that potential amendment. Further proponent testimony. Good morning, Mr. Teason.
Good morning, members of the committee, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dick Teason. I'm from Pier and represent the South Dakota Sheriff's Association. Inmates who have a lot of time on their hands are very creative. In fact, I've often been amazed that if they use their creativity in appropriate, direct ways, they'd be very successful. While they are in jail, they can think of many, many ways to turn lots of things into weapons. And we have people here that can speak more specifically to that. I think that in my research, I was actually surprised to find out that as far back as 2005, we began to realize that OTC drugs were significantly abused as well as prescription drugs. In fact, a national survey on drug use and health back in 2005 showed us already that at that time there were like 6.4 million people that were abusing OTC drugs. So it's important that, like other weapons and things of that nature, alcohol, that these also be regulated in the jail. Please remember that the folks that we charge with taking care of prisoners while they're awaiting trial or serving a sentence are often subjected to litigation and are often subjected to physical attack. So this bill is an attempt to try and address those issues. Cell phones have apparently become very problematic and are included in this. This bill really just does two things. I know it's hard to read. It was hard for me to read, too. But what it does is it makes a Class 1 misdemeanor crime for an inmate who possesses a cell phone, tobacco, or anything that isn't authorized by the sheriff. The second thing the bill does on page 2 is it authorizes the possession of an OTC drug, an over-the-counter drug, but only where the jail facility has dispensed it or approved of that drug being in possession of the inmate. That's the amendment that you received today, inserting the not. I think the not needs to be in there, otherwise it would require that you have a script for the OTC, and I don't think our docs that advise and help our jails or are necessarily going to want to write a script for the OTC drug. So those are the only two things that it does. It makes it a Class 6 felony for you to possess an over-the-counter drug unless it was dispensed by the jail facility and approved by the jail. With that, I will stand by for questions. We hope you'll support the bill.
Thank you. We'll take further testimony, and then we can walk through the amendment if we need to again. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, fellow senators. My name is Marty Gatch. I'm a lieutenant with the Lawrence County Sheriff's Office in Deadwood, South Dakota. With the chairman's permission, I would like to pass around a bag with three items.
Do that? Yes.
Just to reiterate what Mr. Teason has advised you, back in 2008, as a detective, I took a complaint in within our jail facility that four inmates in the maximum cell decided to smuggle in contraband. In this particular case, they used a mop handle. They would dump water on the floor, use a mop handle to, in the rouge of cleaning up the water, bust out a corner of a window. With that, then they took a sheet and tore it into strips, fashioned a bag, per se, out of that sheet, and lowered it out the window and used girlfriends to smuggle in several items, some over-the-counter prescriptions, some controlled drugs, a Bic lighter, tobacco products, a cell phone, and a pocket knife. We found that the current law does not address the items outside of a weapon, the drugs, outside of that. So if it had not been for the small pocket knife or the hydrocodone that was smuggled into the jail, these individuals could not have been held accountable for that, or the people that were assisting in bringing the stuff up. What I'm sending around is another example of some things that we have currently taken from prisoners. Again, if there's the will, there's the way. The cylindrical item in there is an electronic cigarette. The lighter obviously really poses a danger to our jail facility in the form of fire, melting things, etc. And the toothpaste, the individual had hollowed out or dispensed the toothpaste from there and then used it to pack full of chewing tobacco. Now, granted, this bill is not intended to replace corrections officers doing good quality searches, but there just are times that inmates will smuggle in items that we just don't catch. And we can do administrative penalties against them, but it would be nice to have a criminal penalty in certain cases as well. I guess I would take any questions you might have. The drugs. We talk about the over-the-counter drugs, and an example of that is in our jail facility, we authorize Tylenol and ibuprofen to the inmates. However, there's Aleve that's out there. There are cold medications that contain stimulants, and we don't want those being in to the jail without some type of a doctor's prescription. So that's why it's important to add the definitions of over-the-counter. Unless it's authorized by us, then it would revert back to having to have a prescription or an order by a doctor.
Thank you. Any questions for this witness? Senator Murrow.
Thank you. Thank you for coming this far. I just got to talk about the prescription part a little bit. Okay. But it says for the purposes of this, for the purposes of this section, prescription drugs include non-prescription medication items that are authorized by the sheriff. But prescription and prescriber are all defined in law. Has anybody researched this? There's a lot of wiggle room there. That's what
yes. I guess what we initially set up for this particular law is that for this definition, a prescribed drug is anything.
Let me intervene here. It looks to me like we have a lot of activity going on in the room, including musical amendments. And I realize there's concerns about this section and what it says and how it reads. We're gonna be in recess for 5 minutes while we try to sort this out. And if you'll hold on your question, maybe we can get a good answer on it. Thank you. All right, we'll be in recess for 5 minutes. All right, Judiciary Committee will come out of recess. Hopefully we have this resolved. Let's go back to Senator Monroe. Do you have a question?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right. Are there any other questions for this witness? Senator Hunoff, go ahead.
Thank you. I just need a clarification here. Are inmates able to have any medications physically within them in the cell?
No, they are not. They're strictly monitored. What we have in our facility is we have med call, med check, and depending on what the prescription is or what the doctor specifically orders is when our jail staff that are trained to dispense medical products go around and visually watch the inmate take the meds so that we don't have them stockpiling certain medications, etc. Now, the over-the-counter items such as Tylenol, ibuprofen, they can request that. So let's say at noon they want a Tylenol. Then a record is made and no more Tylenol is given to that particular inmate for the suggested time period. So it is monitored very closely.
Follow-up, go ahead.
Just a clarification then. So any of those non-prescriptions, the Tylenol that you're saying, a provider has to have an order for that that says Joe Smith can have Tylenol every 4 hours PRN for pain.
Go ahead.
No, a provider does not have to do that. And over the again, there's only a limited amount of medications that are authorized that we can dispense without a provider's order, and those have to be over-the-counter type medications. I hope I'm answering the question for you, right?
One other question.
Go ahead.
Who makes that decision which over-the-counter are allowed or not allowed?
We consult with our physician that we have on contract, and he is the one that authorizes, and that's one reason why Aleve, etc., or for example, is not authorized because of the chemical compounds. It's just harder to monitor.
Okay, let me follow up on just a second to make sure we, if there was an over-the-counter drug that a doctor believed an inmate needed, then they would write directions accordingly. For example, if a doctor decided that a leave was necessary for a certain inmate, they would write such an order, and then you would provide that per that direction. Am I correct there?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah, there's numerous times we'll take an inmate to a doctor's office, and he'll prescribe Pepto-Bismol, for example. Well, that's something that we don't provide, but we do provide it because of the doctor's order.
Okay. Senator Bugalka.
Thank you. Kind of a follow-up question, if I may. When an inmate takes a non-prescription pill, such as an ibuprofen, do you also monitor and see that he takes it internally and does the stockpile it as well?
Yes, we do. Go ahead. Yes, we do.
Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a question along that line. I mean, maybe you really don't have the answer, but a lady from Pine Ridge was arrested, and she needed seizure medicine. And when she got into the jail, it was after, we'll say, 7 o'clock at night, and she needed to take that medicine, or otherwise she had seizures. And she didn't have it with her. So in the process of asking the people at the jail, they said, well, tough. I mean, how, I to me, I just wondered how what the procedure was for those people who really were on a prescription drug. How would you find that out, or how do they go about that? Because it went quite some time. She did have a seizure eventually.
Go ahead.
I can't answer for that particular jail. Our facility, if we have a new arrestee that comes in, let's say at 7 o'clock at night, and they take a prescription med that is prescribed by a doctor, and they don't have it with them, what we'll do is we'll have their family bring that prescription med up. If they can't bring it up, then what we have is a contract with a medical facility in Deadwood that we will call and give them the information. They have the ability to check prescription histories, etc., and if they feel that it's necessary, then we will get a temporary amount of medication to get them through, you know, 24 hours within our facility. So we have a protocol set up, so I can't answer for your situation, but that's what we have.
Thank you. Any other questions for this witness? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Other proponent testimony, Senate Bill 81. Is there other proponent testimony? Seeing no proponent testimony, is there opponent testimony for Senate Bill 81? Any opponent testimony? Seeing no opponent testimony, any further questions from the committee? Seeing no questions, we'll close public testimony and move to discussion action from the committee. Reminder, we have a couple of available amendments. Senator Bogalka.
I would like to move Amendment 81RA.
Motion, Senator Bogalka, 81RA. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Valley. Senator Bogalka.
Thank you, and I'd like to thank Ruben, our counsel here, for drafting this up. As the original amendment, 81JA, just adding the word not, it was kind of grammatically cumbersome, because then it would read, that are not authorized by the sheriff and available to inmates, etc. Well, did that mean they are available or they're not available? Because, you know, it was kind of a long sentence, and whether or not the not applied to the latter part of the sentence, it really wasn't unclear. So I think this clears it up very well. It would read, I'll read the underlying part with the amendment, would read, for purposes of this section, prescription drugs, including non-prescription medication, For purposes of this section, prescription drugs include non-prescription medication items that have not been authorized by the sheriff and which are not available to inmates except through authorized jail personnel or the inmate commissary system. Thank you.
Thank you. And I have note for the record that proponents and sponsor are nodding their heads in the audience, and so apparently we have agreement that this accomplishes what we always desired. Any further discussion on motion to amend with 81RA? Seeing none, those in favor of amending signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion carried. 81 is so amended. Further discussion action.
Mr. Chair, I'll move do pass.
Valley moves do pass. Second by? Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Bogalka. Discussion on the motion to do pass 81 as amended. Senator Valley.
No, I think it's we've discussed it pretty well. I guess I didn't, when I saw the tube of toothpaste going by, I thought, what's this? And then when you said that they were put in chewing tobacco, I thought, okay. So I'm guessing there's all kinds of ways that people can do stuff. So don't know that this will solve the situation, but what it will do is that they'll know that there's another penalty, and if they just don't, they just hate to get them stacked up, so best better be good. So I'd urge the committee to support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the question is do pass on 81. I'm sorry, Senator Bradford, go ahead. Turn your mic on, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I forgot to ask, but the it's okay. Go ahead, pass the bill, and then I'll ask it afterwards. because it really won't change the bill. Okay.
Okay. Seeing no further discussion, the question is, do pass on 81 as amended. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Valley.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Hunha.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Bigalka.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye. Motion carried. Okay. As indicated earlier, we are going to defer at the sponsor's request Senate Bill 102. Therefore, that concludes our schedule for today. Just a quick note, looking ahead, on Tuesday the 18th, we will have Senate Bill 102, Senate Bill 128, and Senate Bill 130. And then, I'm sorry, disregard. 102, I'm going to schedule 102 for Thursday, the 20th. So Tuesday, we will have Senate Bill 128 and 130. On Thursday, the 20th, which is our last day for Senate bills, we'll do 102 and 118 and House bills 1082, 1021, and 1052. Again, moving tentatively to the February 25th, House Bills 1073, 1077, and 1119, and then on the 27th, House Bill 1100, as well as four governors and Chief Justice appointments. So that's sort of the tentative schedule, and then when we get to the next week after that, we're on the end run. Things will wrap up quickly. And I've noticed that we're getting a bill or two a day from the House. I'm sure we'll fill up our schedule before we get through it. And also as a reminder, 118 was just assigned us, and we have a fiscal impact statement that is coming very, very soon. And we'll get it to you as soon as we get it through the mill, but that's scheduled for a week from today on the 20th. What's 118 is a proposal to change the dollar amounts for damage to property to match the dollar amounts for theft that we changed last year in Senate Bill 70.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any further business for the committee? Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by Senator Bigalka, seconded by Senator Monroe. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, we are adjourned.